the meeting to order.
Clifford?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
Resolve?
Here.
Store?
Here.
Coward?
Present. Okay, need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the agenda? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Need approval of minutes for September 6, 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none.
I'm sorry, did they get a tardy notice for coming in late? I usually on time, I should.
Dang.
Got to give you a shout out.
10% deduction from your pay.
Yeah.
10% at zero, it is.
I missed that, all right.
We round that off, so you even get less.
Gosh, is it?
It must be the coffee, I think.
Give this man a donut.
I got here early.
Give this man a donut or something, like, gosh, okay. Move to call the question.
Second. Second on call if you want.
Roll call.
Okay, no more discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Public participation.
Yeah, we have to, like, know who you are and your name so we can put it in the minutes. So that's cool.
I'm James Cal.
At U of I? Can you spell your name for the minutes?
James and then T-I-A-O.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Sadvi. I'm S-A-D-H-V-I. My last name is N-A-R-A-Y-A-N-A-N. I'm also a student.
So you guys are in the College of Civil Engineering?
College of Business, but we're taking a governmental accounting class.
Okay.
So we attend a board meeting and have analyzed the financial aspect of it.
Cool.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if you should get into this one.
Nice to have. I insist that you say something at the next meeting.
There's agenda packets over here if you want to follow along. You can grab one. Thank you for coming, appreciate it.
Are they entitled to donuts?
Entitled to whatever. They can FOIA a donut if they want to.
Whoa! Man, this is going to be a meeting, huh?
Is there going to be a quiz for them after the meeting?
Only by their professor.
Okay, next on the agenda is...
Have a donut because there's extra.
Any communication? The next thing is the county and township motor fuel tax claim for September and October 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Open for discussion.
No, you second, I'll second.
I think we're second.
We have a second.
Okay.
Your attention.
Excuse me.
Seeing no discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, next thing is from our county engineer.
Ashley and Reed are here from the RPC to do a short presentation on the LRTP, so I'll let them go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Turn it over to you guys.
Thank you. Good morning. We are here to present the draft of the Low Range Transportation Plan 2045. This is a federally required document that we need to produce every 5 years as part of the metropolitan planning process here. As you may know, the Champaign-Urbana Transportation Study is the metropolitan planning organization for the Champaign-Urbana area. And one of the main documents that we have to produce is this document. Then we have been working on preparing this document for the last 2 years. We have had a lot of meetings to get input from the public. And we have also put in place a steering committee with members from different agencies of the MPO as well as other stakeholders like the Chamber of Commerce, the Housing Authority, the airport. Several agencies have been participating and meeting with us about developing this plan. Then this is, the plan is known as a draft document, and we are presenting the document, the plan itself, to several agencies for them to be aware, and the document is also out for 30-day public comment period. We have advertised that, then this is the time for you to provide comments. And the idea is by the next QS meeting, which is set for December 4th, the QS technical committee will be approving the document as a final document, and a week later, the QS policy committee will be approving the document as a final document, and after that, the following Friday, the RPC board will be approving the document as a final document that will submit to IDOT and Federal Highway to comply with the federal requirement. Then Ashley McLaughlin, she will be presenting what we have done so far, and also a video that we created to explain the mission for 2025. Ashley?
Thank you. Thanks for giving us some time today. What I have on the screen here is just our list of steering committee agencies, just for your reference. Rita mentioned several of them, but we did have a broad-based steering committee to kind of oversee and facilitate this process. So I'm going to give you a general overview, like Rita said. This is our planning area here to start. We are technically responsible for the urbanized area, which is here, and it includes Bonneville and Tolono, in addition to Champaign-Urbana and Savoy. And then our planning area also extends outside that urbanized area and also includes Mahomet. So the idea is that this boundary includes any land that might be included in the urbanized area in the next 25 years, because our planning horizon is 25 years.
Is there some reason Rantoul was not included?
Yes, yeah, so part of the reason is that the urbanized area is defined by the census, and that has to do with, their formula has to do with the distance away from the urbanized area, as well as any kind of commuting patterns and other relationships and peripheral growth connecting the two. So in our estimation, it was more likely for Mahomet to be included in the urbanized area before Rantoul in that 25-year horizon. We're not sure about that, and sometimes the census formula changes. But once the next census is completed in 2020, we'll have a better sense of that. So this planning area will probably change for the next long-range transportation plan that we do in 5 years.
Okay, because, I mean, by that reasoning, St. Joe might be.
Exactly, yeah, that could be a possibility as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is our current planning area. I'm going to go over, so our main goal of the plan is to, in terms of the federal requirement, is to anticipate in the next 25 years regionally significant transportation infrastructure changes. This is a difficult thing to predict for 25 years, but that is the goal, partly because, as we all know, it takes a long time for large-scale infrastructure to be constructed, to be planned, to get the money for it. So the goal is to really try to think 25 years ahead and to try to get the public to imagine 25 years ahead and anticipate what kind of changes might be possible. People don't generally like change, and so part of the role of this plan is to really think about change, what kinds of changes we want to see, what kinds of changes we don't want to see, and to better prepare to anticipate and embrace those changes when they do happen. So, how do we get to these regionally significant projects that we're looking to plan for? First, we collect existing conditions data. So, all of our plan content is here on this website. So, in this existing conditions tab, you'll see demographics, land use, environment, health, transportation. Each of these has its own page. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'll just give you a quick example. So for environment, we include information about greenhouse gas emissions. This was a big topic of discussion with the public and among the committee. Of course, the transportation sector is massively responsible for greenhouse gas emissions, so how do we grapple with that? How do we think about that 25 years into the future in terms of nationwide, but also in our local area, having to do with our local air quality and our environmental quality? After doing some existing conditions data assessment with our steering committee and with the public, we set some goals for the future. We have 5-year goals because we update this plan every 25 years, and they are centered around 5 overarching themes: safety, multimodal connectivity, equity, economy, and environment. So for safety here, I'll just give you an example. We have our overarching goal, and then we have objectives and performance measures for each goal. And these objectives and performance measures we track on an annual basis, so that we're not just checking in every 5 years. We're really trying to keep track on an annual basis how much progress we're making towards each of these goals, if they need to be adjusted, or if the strategies we're taking to achieve them need to be adjusted. So after this table of all of these objectives, we have a list of strategies as well as responsible parties for each of those strategies. So again, this is a lot of content. I'm not going to go through it all. I just kind of want to give you an overview here. Throughout this process, we involved the public. In this tab, we have outlined many of the different strategies we used in public outreach. And you'll see at the top of every page here, we have this public comment box. And that will be live for the entire public comment period, just to let people know that it is a public comment period. And they can click on these little icons here wherever they are in the document, and that will send a direct email to our staff, and they can enter comments about that particular section. So for the public comment period, we had over 27 events across the area over the past 2 years, and those events, one of the products of those events was an input map, where it's a little bit hard to see on the screen, but you can zoom into any of these dots, and that is where people left a comment on the transportation system. So it's hard to zoom all the way into one. But here we have someone made a comment about wanting a multi-use path at that particular location that was on West Florida Avenue. So we've collected all of these comments, and they've all informed our goals and objectives and our future projects. So then, eventually, after all of that input collecting, we get to our 2045 vision. So in this section, we have future projects, modeling, funding, and implementation. And before I get to the future projects video that we're going to show you, I just want to quickly run through the models that we use for our... for our development process. So since we're talking about 25 years into the future, we look at all the different projects that the public and the agencies want to see happen, and we attempt to model them in our existing transportation system, but projecting that 25 years into the future. So we use a travel demand model that anticipates roadway volumes and mode uses. We have a land use model that looks at where we think additional population and employment will end up, as well as commercial activities. We have a social cost of alternative land development scenarios model, which helps us better understand what types of resources will be used in depending on different development scenarios. So, you know, how much water use will we be consuming if, you know, if we develop in a certain way versus another way. MOVES, a motor vehicle emission simulator, obviously that tells us about emissions depending on different transportation and development patterns. And then ACCESS SCORE is a neighborhood level accessibility analysis that gives us an idea of how residents are able to use the transportation system in different areas of the community. How well can each neighborhood access health services, education services, and all the things that we need to do on a daily basis. So that is our modeling suite that helps us look 25 years into the future at the impacts of different transportation projects and changes in the community. And with all of that, then we created a list of future projects. Let's see, let me just make this a little bit bigger. Well, you still can't see this all that well, but this is one of the vision posters we used in our public outreach, where we were talking to people about potential future projects and connecting them back to our goals. So in our first round of input, we got input on what people want to see in the future, what kinds of goals they prioritize in terms of safety, equity, economy. And then we used this table here to connect those goals to some of the future projects. So for the new interchange reconstruction that will be happening, that is currently ongoing, will be happening in phases. how that connects back to our safety goals, our multimodal connectivity goals, and also our economy goals in terms of freight traffic. So that's just one example of future projects in the community. But also for public engagement, in order to get people involved in the plan and thinking about the future, we worked with an illustrator to create two videos for the LRTP. One of them is about the process of the LRTP so that people understand who we are and how we update the LRTP every 5 years and who we're working with, all those different agencies that are involved. And then the other video is to get people to start thinking about that conceptual change that I mentioned earlier. How do we think about the future and how do we start changing our behavior now so that we can realize the future that we really want? So this is we call it our vision video, and it's an example of some of the 2045 vision projects. It's not a thorough kind of explanation of the entire plan, but it's kind of an idealistic way to think about possible changes in the future. And we didn't check the sound, but it seems like it's working.
For the internet, before cell phones, and even before there was a man on the moon, the Champaign-Urbana Urbanized Area Transportation Study, also known as CUETS, has had a transportation plan. We have been forecasting the future of transportation in the region since 1964, currently covering an area of about 50 square miles and the cities of Champaign and Urbana and the villages of Savoy, Bonneville, Tolono, and Mahomet. Trends, technology, and the way we travel is constantly changing. That is why CUETS updates their long-range transportation plan every 5 years, which includes a 25-year vision for the future. Let's jump to the year 2045 to imagine how proposed projects and initiatives could positively shape our community's future.
Now, morning for Chicago. What do you think? Should we bike or take a bus here to Mahomet? I think a cool rail trip, about 11 miles. And then we break for lunch.
It's right? So much different than I remember.
Well, it's been about 20 years now since we've lived in CU.
So many people going different places.
We are here at the redeveloped Illinois Terminal in downtown Champaign. The second floor lounge has doubled in size to accommodate more passengers and additional services, like high-speed rail. You will also notice a few new shops as you move through the hall to the new walkway, where passengers have easy access to buses, taxis, and rideshare. The terminal grounds have been thoroughly revamped. The new parking garage has plenty of spaces to accommodate travelers and employees of the adjacent office building. The old parking lot is now a beautiful green space, a great first impression for visitors to the region. Together, these improvements provide better traffic flow for pedestrians, bikes, cars, and local and regional buses alike.
All right, everyone on the bus. We should be at Grandma and Grandpa's house in no time.
Let's travel around the region to visit some other improvements proposed for the future. Next stop, East Urbana. University Avenue in Urbana underwent upgrades to improve pedestrian and cyclist safety, such as LED street lighting, modernized traffic signals, bike wayfinding signs, accessible ramps, and sidewalks. Motorists, cyclists, pedestrians, and buses can circulate more safely around this area now. When you reach East Urbana, you'll notice familiar green spaces and a few new ones throughout the local neighborhood. The Learman Community Garden is thriving, and what was once a vacant lot is now an affordable housing development with transit access to employment and other services around the community. What hasn't changed is MTD's commitment to multimodal connectivity by including bike racks on all of their buses. You can still get here or anywhere in CU by taking your bike with you and finishing the last leg of your commute across town.
It's so good to see you.
We are so happy you are here. Did you fly into Willard Airport?
Speaking of Willard Airport, let's soar on over and see the improvements that make traveling into Champaign County a breeze. Businesses enjoy Willard Airport's increased daily flights, which can accommodate their enterprises that are located in Champaign County. Willard's expanded service also adds flexibility for residents who want to travel to more cities. Autonomous vehicles, also known as driverless or self-driving cars, have been sharing city streets for years and have been fully integrated into society as a safe method of travel. Cities can more easily reach their goals of creating safer streets, supporting public transit, decreasing road maintenance costs, and reducing congestion as more people choose autonomous rideshare instead of personal vehicle ownership. In 2045, the airport has also grown into a regional freight terminal. The existing runway capacity for large aircraft, as well as the easy connections to the interstate system, enabled Willard Airport to expand new and enhanced air cargo services. Leaving Willard and taking US 45 North, you'll see the new Curtis Overpass. There will be no more interruptions for traffic traveling along Curtis Road as trains pass overhead. By 2045, the University of Illinois has reached the net zero energy goals, and more Champaign County residents utilize solar energy and travel by train to reduce their carbon footprint. A multi-use path on First Street allows Research Park employees, students, and university staff to cycle or walk to work safely. The increased number of side paths in the region promote a healthier community and reduce pedestrian and bicycle crashes and fatalities. A combination of innovative transportation projects and a focus on health and safety measures have helped the region to flourish economically. In the heart of the University of Illinois campus, students, faculty, staff, and visitors enjoy safe, multimodal connectivity to all the resources the campus has to offer without having to own a car. Local agencies work together to improve mobility within and between the campus and individual municipalities through roadway improvements that facilitate improved bus capacity and frequency, sidewalks, lighting, and bicycle facilities. In locations with high pedestrian and bicycle traffic, technology, such as automatic pedestrian and bicycle detection, provides better safety, accessibility, and mobility for people walking and biking. More people walking and biking means better population health and better environmental health, as well as less vehicle congestion. Curb space plays an important role in urban accessibility. This valuable public space that used to be dominated by personal vehicle parking has evolved along with our cities to accommodate social functions, additional transportation modes, and rising e-commerce deliveries. Maximizing curb space with flexible loading zones for shared ride services and urban freight vehicles can keep our urban centers active and accessible for businesses and people. Cyclists use bike wayfinding signs and signals to easily move around the city.
Look, that building is so close to the railroad tracks.
It used to be a train station a long time ago, and it was turned into a theater.
I remember going to Station Theater when we were dating. That was a lot of fun. Now we can ride our bikes to the next show.
Here we are at the Kickapoo Rail Trail. This is one of the many stops on this nearly 40-mile-long multi-purpose recreational trail, also known as the KRT. The KRT now extends through Mahomet, connecting parks, homes, and businesses in Champaign, Urbana, and Mahomet, as well as Carle Foundation Hospital and the University of Illinois. The KRT made it safe, accessible, and fun for pedestrians and cyclists of all ages and abilities to get around the region. Access to active transportation infrastructure, such as the KRT, has increased physical activity and overall health in our community.
We're almost there. Let's get off the trail and check out the school I'll be teaching at next year.
Programs such as CU Safe Routes to School continue to work to make walking and biking safe and easy for students, parents, and teachers to get to their local schools. Kickapoo Rail Trail extensions westward from downtown Urbana have positively affected access to higher education and job training. More neighborhoods have convenient connections to locations that used to be more difficult for pedestrians and bicyclists to reach, such as Parkland Community College. Agriculture has maintained its prominent role in our local economy, even as the population and economy grows. New construction has been concentrated in existing urban areas of the region, which has increased population density and preserved surrounding farmland. The KRT now connects Champaign-Urbana bicyclists and pedestrians to the Mahomet Forest Preserves. Invasive species management and great care from the community has preserved and restored these vital natural resources. Rural transportation has evolved to meet the increasing need to connect rural residents to urban amenities, such as hospitals, shopping centers, and employers. A fixed route rural transit service now connects Mahomet to Champaign-Urbana on top of the existing Rantoul connector that brings Rantoul residents to and from Champaign-Urbana.
This park seems pretty cool. There's stuff at the playground?
Maybe later. We don't want to be late for the concert.
The place has changed a lot.
Bristol Place is one of the oldest neighborhoods in the city of Champaign, but you would never guess since it was revitalized. The area has been outfitted with bicycle and pedestrian facilities, including a greenway that follows Boneyard Creek through the expanded Bristol Park, crossing Market Street, and continuing behind the diverse range of housing types that were developed for residents of all socioeconomic levels. Toward the northern end of the neighborhood, the Barton Center at Human Kinetics Park offers a unique variety of community resources, from outdoor event space and soccer fields to classes and programs. There are opportunities for people of all ages and abilities to meet, play, and learn here.
Dad, when we move here, can we live next to this park?
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Accessible downtowns are key to strengthening our civic character, regional economy, and engaging our unique neighborhoods. A new plaza in downtown Champaign is a welcoming community space for residents and visitors. The plaza accommodates public events and supports downtown businesses. Expanded bus service to the area reduces vehicle traffic and the need for parking while increasing bicycle and pedestrian safety. Seamless transportation, diverse, sustainable infrastructure, and a welcoming, growing community committed to innovation. This is the future we see for the Champaign-Urbana metropolitan area. The 2045 vision is built around specific transportation goals to improve safety, the economy, multimodal connectivity, equity, and the environment. To learn more about our long-range transportation plan, visit our website, ccrpc.org/LRTP2045. Before the internet...
Okay, well, that's what we have for you today. Questions, comments?
Pretty cool.
Pretty interesting. The question of moving people from cars to mass transit and bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of people live outside of Champaign.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a lot of people working at the university in Carl. How much, I mean, how many bikes do you see? How many buses? I mean, you're transferring those numbers to that. How do you see that working? How much room do you have for those increased numbers moving from cars to, I mean, that's still a lot of people coming in Champaign-Urbana. How's that work?
Well, we are working on hopefully extending what we have done for Rantoul, having transit route between Rantoul and Champaign-Urbana to Mahomet. That would be the next conversation. With that, we need to get more vehicles there. We are in the process of applying for funding to get more vehicles into the system, SIM cards that we have there. It's a progressive approach. It's not something that we can do like tomorrow, but our hope is that by 2045, we can have more fixed route service, transit service between the small communities and Champaign-Urbana. But of course, that will depend on getting more vehicles and more funding to get them in place. Regarding bicycle facilities, it would be more difficult. We are relying on the Kickapoo Rail Trail to be in place. That it would be easier for people living in Mahomet or living in St. Joe to commute to the community using bicycle facilities, the KRT. North-south is more difficult because we have to work with IDOT on providing those facilities along US 45 to connect to Rantoul and US 45 to connect to Toronto. But if we don't talk about it, we will never get them in place.
Yeah, you gotta plan it, right?
I mean, exactly.
Because then you have everything showing up in Champaign and back and forth, and how do these people come from Mahomet, especially if they're bicycling? Obviously they can't go to work in half an hour on a bicycle, but they've gotta have
right. The
mass transit.
And a lot of that transfer of from people back from cars to bikes and walking and transit, the majority of that we'll see within the urbanized area, certainly, because you know those trips are much easier to facilitate. The commuting ones, you know, we hope to transfer some of that as well, but obviously it will be a smaller percentage because it is a lot less convenient, like you mentioned.
Do you foresee a widening of 150 then to the west?
I don't know.
I mean, it's two lanes now.
Yeah, it's
and if you kind of have put, you know, more. I mean, maybe the bus traffic, if that's what you're seeing, you know, thinking is would kind of cut that down. But I just kind of wonder what, because it's kind of pretty heavily used right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an ideal question, but I would say that probably I would prefer widening the interstate. And that's a project that was discussed heavily about 10 years ago. There was funding allocated to widen 74 between Mahomet and Champaign, and that funding was sent back to IDOT because
the Mahomet people didn't want it.
Rejected that. But that's why I think that if there is a significant increase in traffic between Mahomet and Champaign, Urbana, I could say that probably having already those plans done, IDOT will probably go with widening 74 instead of widening 150.
Looks to me like a car.
Thank you. Now, a lot of people, I mean, you seem to kind of go more for some of the folks that I work with don't have cars or and need to get around. And do you see more bus, better bus routes or more bus routes or how's that fit into the plan?
Well, currently the bus system obviously is very campus-centric. And so one idea that MTD has been working with and kind of started exploring in different ways around the community is having additional hubs around the community so that it's more convenient, direct, and quicker for people who are not on campus to get to other parts of the community. I think that's where the real lag comes in, is when someone is trying to get from off campus to another location off campus, but they have to go through campus essentially. So that's one idea that MTD is working with to kind of make more efficient some of their routes for off-campus population. So that is one idea, and incorporated in here into the vision poster is having an additional transit hub in Urbana, similar to the one in Champaign. Not similar to the one in Champaign, but functionally like the one in Champaign, where more routes can go in and out of Urbana as opposed to through campus or through the downtown Champaign hub.
Mm.
But that could look a lot of different ways too. I know MTD has been working with rideshare type services, and they're working with a consultant currently to look at route efficiencies and doing a full route analysis in the community.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because that's one of the complaints I hear, is that people miss medical appointments.
Sure.
Appointments with social services, dentists, and so forth, because they just can't get around quickly enough to get from here to there.
And that also has to do with the way we use land, so making sure that people are living in places where they can access the services that they need, or making sure that those services are in places that are near their home.
That's the latter is kind of the okay.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Feel free to explore the website and send us additional feedback or comments at any time.
The DeLorean was a nice touch for the older people that know what the DeLorean is, Back to the Future.
In the beginning there? Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move on down the agenda then to item number 9, which is a resolution appropriating $1 million from the motor fuel tax funds for improvement to County Highway 15. This is a project that Rita's group helped tremendously with to obtain highway safety improvement dollars in order to upgrade the Sydney slab from 130 over to Sydney. Total project cost is somewhere around $4.5 million. HSIP, we actually received a letter on August 30th. HSIP refers to Highway Safety Improvement Program. We were awarded $2,015,000 for the safety part of that particular project. We're also going to get some other federal funds to help match that and maybe some TARP money. So this $1 million is kind of a placeholder so that we have enough money to move ahead with the project. And if obviously if it doesn't get used, it'll get reallocated to other projects. But we need to have a resolution on file allocating money in order for the state to move ahead with signing of agreements and so forth in order to move the project in a positive direction. So I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Good move and second. Any discussion? Okay, now. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, next item is a resolution for contract award authority for a Mahomet Township bridge. We've been working diligently to try to get this bridge to bid, trying to beat IDOT to the punch. As you know, there's a lot more money in the transportation system in the state of Illinois going forward than there has been in the past, and which is putting a pretty good squeeze on our contractors and their workforces. And in order to get the best bids we can possibly get, we have the two bridges that we'll be looking at further on down in the agenda packet, plus this one that we're trying to get bid here this fall for work that would actually be completed next spring and summer. So this is just a resolution allowing me to award the contract if it comes within 10% of the engineer's estimate, so we can continue to move forward with that project. I'm anticipating a December sometime letting. We don't exactly know yet, but would hate for it to get held up and have to wait till after the first of the year to get approvals and so forth. So just trying to speed up the process.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moving in second, open for discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The next resolution is appropriating our annual motor fuel tax funds for county road maintenance. You'll see attached to the resolution is a estimate of maintenance costs that we put together and send down to IDOT. Those are required to be to IDOT by the first of the year so that we can start spending those monies as soon as 2020 rolls around. But you'll see this is for things like our salt and our rock and our signs and culverts. In this particular estimate of cost, there's a project that we'll be doing in Gifford. As you may recall, for those of you that have been on the board for a while or even live up in the Gifford area, when we redid the road going up to Gifford, we did not go through the village of Gifford, and that was a decision that was made between the village of Gifford and the county at that time. But we made a promise at that point that we would come back at a future date and redo the roadway through Gifford. So this is coming back and doing that. The city of Gifford, or the village of Gifford, is ready now to pay their proportional share of that project. So that's something we'll end up doing by contract in the spring and summer of 2020. So that makes this maintenance estimate a little bit healthier. Usually it's down around under $1 million, but with that mill and overlay through Gifford, it's $1,267,900 this year.
Is it the same proportional share that basically was proposed at the beginning before the road was constructed? I mean, they didn't want to do it then. Is that the same amount as doing it now? Or
yeah,
is there
so
a savings to them or a savings to us?
Neither. It was a convenience thing, to be honest with you. We had federal money for the project that would have gone through the Village of Gifford. In the Village of Gifford, there's diagonal parking along Main Street. FHWA guidelines do not allow for diagonal parking along roadways anymore because you're physically backing into traffic and you could be a safety hazard. So therefore, we couldn't expend the federal dollars through the Village of Gifford without basically making them take that parking out. Now coming back and doing it as a maintenance project, we don't have to worry about all those things that go along with the federal dollars or the state-funded dollars. We can just go through and do it as it is currently. So we will pay for everything between the white lines going through Gifford, because that's the part that the county owns and maintains. Everything outside of the white lines, all the parking spaces or any curb and gutter or anything that needs to be fixed while we're there, the village will pay for that part of it.
And parking will remain the same?
Yes.
Diagonally, backing up into traffic?
Yep.
Well, there's not that much traffic.
Yeah, it's slow traffic, and
hazard is a hazard.
Yeah. It's a hazard.
No, I grant you. And they're breaking out from the Long Branch Saloon. So
yeah, but tell the Long Branch they're not going to have parking in front of their establishment anymore,
right,
and
exactly.
See where that gets you.
That will kill business.
Yeah, that didn't go over so well. So they could have had parallel parking along the curb, but that's, you know, for every diagonal space, you can get like 3 diagonal spaces to every parallel parking space. So they were going to lose a tremendous amount of parking. They tried to find an area in the downtown area that they could redevelop as like a parking lot. Nobody wanted to give up, you know, the land for that type of development. So, but what comes around goes around, right? So we're back, and we've agreed just to keep it the way it is and go ahead. We're just going to go through there and mill off the existing asphalt and come back with a asphalt overlay to kind of freshen it up.
Quite an improvement then.
Yep, should be a good improvement. So that's all part of our general maintenance estimate for 2020. So that resolution needs to be approved, and we'll send it down to IDOT, and they'll approve our maintenance.
Second.
Moved and second. Open for discussion. Seeing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The next resolution. I have a 6-year contract with the county through 2022. This resolution is just appropriating the money. As you know, we pay for my salary out of county motor fuel tax funds, and then 50% of the salary is actually reimbursed through a federal reimbursement program back to the county, so that the highway fund or the bridge fund doesn't have to pay for any share of that. So this is the resolution appropriating the funds for motor fuel tax and doing the program to get half of it back through the Federal Surface Transportation Program. I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
Is this substantially different from your salary? Is this a substantial increase to your salary?
The board voted 3.1% across the board for all non-union employees.
So that's what this is? Okay.
Yep. Yep.
No increase to your health care?
Whatever everybody else, I'm along for the ride with whatever you guys vote on.
Well, I think
you're in for 14%, but okay.
But this is just the appropriating the funds for the salary from the motor fuel tax and the federal dollars.
I congratulate you again for your being recognized in the professional organization that you're in, and because you're now the head of it.
Getting there.
Huh?
One step.
Oh, you're
National Association of County Engineers. I'm a regional vice president.
Oh, okay.
So
you're not the big honcho yet.
Not yet. No. That's a few years down the road, and a lot more grayer hairs. Mine's getting almost as gray as yours, but I'll probably be there by the time I get there.
I don't know. Having the foggiest idea, Jim.
Two of us haven't voted yet.
See if we can get Geraldo in on it. You know, he's retired. He's retired.
But I appreciate that. And I do enjoy that part. And it also brings a lot of benefit back to the county to be a part of that.
I agree.
Without a doubt.
I agree, and I encourage that sort of professional development at every in every capacity and among county employees.
Yes.
And that's how we all grow in our jobs and our work.
Well, throughout the years, it's been a department that I admire and I highly respect and commend because of the fact that it's a flawless department, run very well, very professionally, and I never see any problems arising from this department. One of the better departments run in this county. So, by example.
It's all because of the office manager.
I love it.
And the donuts.
And the donuts. And I've had the same chair ever since I started here. So that sure helps out. Let's hope that continues for a long
time. She's a great chair.
And that's if she was reappointed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, more discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Next item is a resolution awarding. We got two bridges, both on County Highway 1, that we're going to do next summer in order to not have to close the roadway in multiple years. We're just going to knock them both out at the same time. Excuse me. We bid them both at the same time, and Stark Excavating was the low bidder for both of the projects. These projects have a no earlier than April 1st start date on them and no later than October 1st completion date on them for 2020. The first one is the bigger three-span bridge. Engineer's estimate was $1,249,000. They came in at $1,247,000, so that was pretty darn close to what we estimated for sure. And the second one is a little bit of a smaller structure. Engineer's estimate was $997,000. It came in at $857,000 total cost. So we're under our estimated cost, which was I was very concerned about because what I talked about before with the workforce of the contractors. I talking with Stark's head guy yesterday down at one of our bridge projects, and he said they're really struggling to get good labor. They're offering incentive programs now to get people to move to their construction company and stay with their construction company, where they give them a 10 or a 20% bonus at the end of the year if they stay and work with them for the entire year and don't break off and go do something else instead of just staying with them. So
laborers are having trouble getting apprentices and staying.
Yeah, carpenters, I think, are the big thing right now. There's just so much stuff going on here, trying to get a good... Because if you get a really good carpenter on a bridge project, he can kind of run it for you. You know what I mean? They have a foreman that runs all their bridge projects, but he's running like 8 projects at one time, so he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. And, you know, they need that secondary person that will be kind of in charge of a singular project and will kind of... answer to the head guy, and they're really struggling to find that skilled labor, somebody that has the proficiency to be able to do that on their behalf. So it's a little bit worrisome, but hopefully
they're saying the same thing at FMS.
Are they?
Yeah, the guys that are out there working.
Yeah. So I don't know.
They made a big mistake when they took vocational classes out of school.
Well, I think so.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
And they just think everybody was supposed to be in college. There's nothing wrong with college, but there's kids that just, you know.
Right.
And now it's the STEM or STEAM, instead of a Voltech education.
Yeah, they're having trouble getting teachers, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As far as that goes, and I don't know, do we want to pay more for schools? Because when I talked with John Dimmitt about this, he said, well, it's the money.
Always is.
Jeff,
so we need to move this?
One second. Jeff, do we have any PLAs with our union contractors? No? Is there any reason that we don't? They asked me about it there. And they said that now under contract negotiations that was on the table.
I don't I don't know anything about them, to be honest with you. Okay. Never been involved in conversations related to that. Okay. I had the same question from somebody up in the collar counties around Chicago asking that question throughout all of the Illinois Association of County Engineers. And there was very few respondents that were doing anything like that except those up around the Chicagoland area.
Jim, do you have any comments regarding that?
I have some knowledge about that, of course. Right now it's going to be difficult because one of the components that I think we need to have is minority hiring when we do something like that. And then how much money is involved, and just the discussion we just had, you know, you're going to get in the middle of trying to put a contract out for a bridge or something, and then you're going to go through the process of trying to find a contractor to be able to do it, and will they have the staff to have the minority contract component, and will they be able to fill the contract with the PLA and get the work done, and how much will that cost, and how much will that drive up the cost? I'm not disagreeing. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying we got to talk to the trades and see, you know, how can they fill these contracts? I mean, do you, $500,000, $400,000, you know, what level? And then
I was told that we do PLAs basically on a job per job basis, not across the board commitment to the unions to do that.
Yeah, you write the contract. You have to have some process to do PLAs at the county, so you know what to expect when you're going into a contract. And then you write the contract per job based on the job. But if we're going to have a process, you're going to have a guideline for the county, whether it's for Dana for a facility or it's for Jeff for a road. I mean, if he's going to do a $100,000 culvert, does he need to have a PLA? People would say no. Generally,
it's under $250,000.
Well, you can set that where you think is right. Yeah. And there hasn't been a lot. I guess a couple years ago they discussed the issue of making which the state right now, as far as my discussion with procurement at the U of I, has a 20% the state procurement. I think we have to have some, you know, requirement. Mm-hmm. Or some way of at least trying to encourage minority procurement at the county.
Yeah.
You know, so which kind of, you know, it kind of makes it more difficult for
to quagmire
for unions. I mean, they are working to try to include more minorities in the unions. I know they are because I've been involved in the AFL-CIO, so I know for the last, I haven't been there for 4 years. For the last 10 years, I've been trying to bring more people in to get involved. So, but with everything going on, everybody's trying to bring more people in.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I asked, and I didn't, you know, mean to interrupt in the middle of the meeting, is that there's no discussion in facilities because, one, we don't have the money to build anything, not even a jail. So the only other place that labor is usually intensifies and is utilized is in this committee or coming out of this committee, out of this department, across the board. So, and I know at the university, the university has some PLAs, and there's also some non-union contracts that they also have. So they have a balance of both, and they hire non-union as well as union contracts.
Right. minority contracting. But what we're talking about, obviously, I'm not sure about the smaller culverts and things like that. Obviously, some of the stuff is just done by townships. I don't know of any of the larger the bridges and stuff that are roads that they're doing. They're not using union people all the time anyway. So I'm not sure if it's an issue. But
yeah, it was.
We have to do some more.
Yeah, I think it was an issue. Discussion. It was an issue some years ago when there were companies coming in from Indiana, getting minority contracts, hiring day laborers that were minorities, and then getting that contract in Champaign County, and then employees getting hurt, not having health care and insurance and compensation for when they were out of work because they were day laborers and they had no coverage whatsoever. So it was like, wait a minute, what are we doing hiring
people from Indiana to come in and carpet bag our, you know, contracts here. So that's why I was asking, because there's a lot of gray areas there that need exploring. I don't have all the answers, but I just wanted to know how you all felt about that.
I don't know why. Yeah, we have to have more discussion about it, because I don't know why. Because I think Debussy went through that discussion, if I remember, 3 or 4 years ago, about, you know, those kind of PLAs or having a process for hiring contractors, you know, and including a component.
And I've been in discussion with Kevin Sage, and basically Kevin indicated what actually is a PLA, which I was dumb. I was ignorant. Oh, yeah. I did not know what it was. And then I haphazardly threw out, I said, no wonder they don't want, the county doesn't want any PLAs, because the enders, it's a middleman coming in between the process, and it ties up the director's hands of what to get the job done. And then they have full control, so you're allowing a third party to come in and take over the project and then be able to stop work and control the job itself, and it takes it away from you. So I said, no wonder the county doesn't have any PLAs, and I don't think he liked it very much.
Well, we don't have, well, maybe the bridges sometimes. We have bridges big enough, but we have few of those, and obviously we don't build a lot of facilities. The jail is going to be the next one that we'll do. So we don't have a lot of contracts. It's a contract between the contractor, the county, and the unions, and that contract defines all the work, all, you know, what's going to happen, and who's going to be used on the job, and that they all have the apprentices, insurance, you know.
We already do all that, though, through IDOT and certificates of eligibility and paying prevailing wage.
Right.
And, I mean, all that stuff is all wrapped into all of our contracts. If you ever look at our contracts, there's all that verbiage is there. So it may not be a traditional PLA. I think we're doing about exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Be honest with you. You know, now you get into the building trades and so forth. That's a totally different animal. I mean, we're bound by what IDOT, you know, their eligibility certificates and the contractors that are able to do the work and are eligible to do the work, because they, you know, they have to have a certain bonding authority and they have to have certain expertise to be able to do it, and they have to prove that they have the expertise and that they've done the work appropriately in the past. And so IDOT actually polices all that on our behalf with these certificates of eligibility that they require the contractors to have to bid on public projects in the state of Illinois.
Well, I thought I'd ask, and thank you for the feedback.
Yeah. Yep.
No, it's good to know, because I don't know all of it either, especially at the county.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all of it to U of I either, because that's obviously.
And when we get into federal jobs, it's even more stringent. Well, on federal jobs, we have DBE requirements, you know, woman-owned business enterprises and DBEs and so forth. And we have goals that we have to meet. And, you know, on our typical county projects, we don't include those because there's just more stuff to check off and follow. But on the federal aid jobs, that's all part of it.
Thanks for.
Yep.
Good discussion.
Okay. Is there any more discussion?
Did we actually do we have a first?
No.
Okay,
I don't think we have a motion. Do you want to take them both at the same time?
Both at the same
time.
Both.
So moved.
Second.
Oh, wait. He was making a motion.
Oh, sorry.
Stole my motion.
Sorry.
I'm on a caffeine rush.
I'll move it.
Okay.
And then John said he wanted to second it.
There you go.
Okay, now you can kind of call for a roll call.
No. No. Necessary. I want to be here longer than I anticipated.
We got some more.
We still have to vote.
Mm-hmm.
These
okay,
poor students.
No more discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay.
Somebody needs to read the, whoever you choose, Madam Chair, to close the session, but that item number 15 just be read verbatim.
Oh, wow, got it.
Oh. We had a separate.
We just wrote it right on here. So just read the 15, say I move we closed session pursuant to blah, blah, blah.
Can I do it?
That's the second page. Where'd it go?
It's all yours.
Right, read it.
Closed session pursuant to 5 Illinois CSS, CS 120/20 C1 to consider the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the Champaign County Highway Department.
And you need to include in that motion who's to remain in the room.
Oh.
Well, at this stage, we'll have to.
Recording secretary.
I'm afraid you're going to have to leave because this is a closed session matter.
So thank you for coming out and supporting.
It's the last item on the agenda, so you guys won't be missing anything.
Hope you took copious notes.
Absolutely. And it's online as well if you need to find it online. So.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, I hope it was helpful.
Thanks, Paul.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Do the same. Spread the wealth.
Thanks for coming.
So we need to have a roll call vote, don't we, Michelle?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We do.
We're going to have the engineer stay. We're going to have a board member stay. And the
recording secretary.
And the recording secretary. Mm-hmm.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye.